Amen. Great singing today. Appreciate the praise team. Molly, Joanna, Kate, thank you for that wonderful song. And we certainly thank God this day for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we thank you for being with us this morning. Take your Bibles this morning. Go to the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter number 1. The book of 2 Corinthians, chapter number 1. What a beautiful day, as I've said already, that the Lord has given to us. 2 Corinthians chapter number 1, and we're going to start in verse number 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse number 8. I'm not going to preach real long today. It's my only lie I'll tell you, right? I'm not going to preach real long. We're going to try to get going on the missions trip with the kids so we can get there before dark and get things unloaded. But I want to just share with you some simple thoughts this morning. And beginning in verse number 8 of 2 Corinthians 1, the Apostle Paul, writing to, obviously to the church at Corinth, he says this: "For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of the trouble which came to us in Asia." The Apostle Paul, writing, as I mentioned already, to the church of Corinth, and is reminding them of the trouble that came to him. And I would imagine that in a room this size, with the crowd this size, there's people who have trouble, who have had trouble, and are going to have trouble. Some people say that you're either in a trial, about to go into one, or coming out of one. There's different trials. There's different things we experience. You can call it trouble. You can call it conflict. You can call it persecution. Call it whatever you want. And I would imagine, as I mentioned, that there's probably not a single person in here that's not been impacted by at least some point or some time in their life with trouble. And the Apostle Paul says, "I don't want you to be ignorant of the trouble which came to us." And then he begins to describe some of the trouble that he went through. He says this: "We were pressed out of measure." We were pressed out of measure. You ever been pushed? Have you ever been pressed? Have you ever had something that you're dealing with that is beyond your capabilities? Something that you feel like there's nothing I can do, nothing I can have that's going to help me overcome this situation. Paul says, "I was pressed out of measure." He says, "above strength." You ever been dealing with a trial or a difficulty where you literally would say, "This is something that is pushing me out of measure. This is something that is above my strength. I do not have the power to deal with this trouble or this situation that I am in." He says, "I don't want you to be ignorant of the trouble that came to me." Are you having trouble? Have you been in trouble or trials or persecutions? Paul says, "I was pressed out of measure, above strength." And then he ends in verse number 8, "insomuch," or "so much," he says, "that we despaired even of life." Boy, it gets pretty serious when your trouble and your trials, the Bible says, he said it was even wondering if we would survive. Even wondering if we would live. Verse 9, he says, "But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves." How is it that I overcome trials? How is it that you overcome trials and troubles and difficulties and persecutions? He mentioned three times in verse number 8, with above measure, above strength, and he said even above, even fearing my own life. And so the way that he began to deal with troubles and trials and difficulties and persecutions that he experienced, he learned something. And this is something that I'm still learning. I'm going to move this because I like to stand right there. This is something that I'm still learning, and I would imagine maybe you're still learning it as well. But I want to believe that I'm getting better at it. I want to believe I'm trusting more. But this is what Paul gives in verse number 9. He says that we should not trust in ourselves. How easy is it in the midst of trials and troubles to trust in ourselves? How easy is it to rely upon our own strength and our own abilities? How often has that not worked out, and yet we do it time and time and time again? You say, Paul, why would you keep doing what you're doing? Why are you still going on these journeys and still preaching the gospel of Christ when these people are throwing you out of town? Your life is in danger. And Paul says, because I have learned to not trust in myself. I've learned to trust in God. And then he gives you an example of why you should. He says, but we have the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves. In other words, verse number 9 is basically saying, my life means nothing to me but only service to God. And then he says in verse number 9, towards the end, he says that we should not trust in ourselves but in God. And then there's this phrase at the end of verse number 9, which gives you a pretty good indication of why you trust in this God. He says, in verse 9, which raiseth the dead. See, our God is not just any God. He's the God that has power to even raise the dead. He's a God that has strength and understanding beyond anything we could ever know or comprehend. Paul says, I've learned to not trust in myself because I trust in a God that raises people from the dead. That's how much power my God has. I want you now to go to chapter number 2, and the Apostle Paul continues with this understanding. He says, I've learned to not trust in myself. I've learned to trust in God. Why am I trusting in God? Because God has all power and all understanding, even to raise from the dead. But then Paul gives another situation. Here's what's going on with the Apostle Paul in chapter number 2. He says in verse number 13, chapter 2 and verse number 13, the Apostle Paul says, I had no rest in my spirit. So Paul, you think, Paul, there's no way. I mean, he writes all this great stuff. There's no way he had questions and he had things he was going through. But he says, I had no rest in my spirit. There was trouble. There was conflict. There was difficulty. There were trials that Paul was going through. And he says, my spirit, I had no rest in my spirit. Who in here would say, you don't have to raise your hand, but in your own heart, are you going through troubles? Is your spirit not at rest because of the trials that you're going through? Do you have worries? Do you have concerns? Do you have things that are weighing you down? Paul says, I don't have any rest in my spirit. I think that's one way to say maybe he was a little discouraged. Who's ever been discouraged? No one, right? Everyone has times where they can be discouraged. I would imagine that the Apostle Paul, even according to verse number 13, he says he had no rest in his spirit. And why? Because he couldn't find Titus, his brother. He was waiting for the report from Titus, waiting for the report of the response to the church in Corinth, and he had no rest in his spirit, and there was things going on, and there was trouble going on, and he was writing about that, and he says, my spirit is not at rest. Maybe you have a medical appointment coming up, and you can't find rest. Maybe a loved one you know is going through a hard time, and you can't find rest. You have trouble in your life. Paul's situation, as he says, my spirit was not at rest. As he says in verse number 13, he was waiting for that report from Titus, and it hadn't happened yet. Have you ever been worried about the unknown? Something that you want to know what's happening, and you can't get that report, and you can't wait for it, and there's that unknown up ahead? That's the hardest part, isn't it, sometimes? Sometimes I'm glad I don't know the future, and sometimes I wish I did. I feel that way. Paul says, I'm waiting to know what's happening. I want to know what's going on. And his spirit is stirred up, and he's trying to find rest in his spirit, and he's learning to trust in God. And this is what he says in verse 14 and 15, and this is actually where the message is this morning. In verse number 14, the Apostle Paul says this. In verse number 14, he's had trials, he's had troubles, he's concerned about the unknown. He's waiting for the report from Titus. He's curious about what that report is going to be. He's been pressed out of measure. He's been fearful even of his very life. But he's learning to trust in God, learning to not trust in himself. And then he says this. I love verse 14. He says, now, thanks be unto God, he says, which, and then he uses an amazing word in verse 14, always. Thanks be to God, which always, he says, causeth us to triumph. Now, some of you, if you're a motorcycle fan, you may, when you see the word triumph, you think of an old motorcycle or whatever that may be. But the Bible gives this word in relation to something that I believe Paul would have been very familiar with. He says, thanks be to God, which always causes us to triumph. How? How can we always triumph? Because he says in verse 14, he always causes us to triumph in Christ. Now, what does it mean to triumph? I believe what Paul had in mind here was a Roman celebration. It was a Roman celebration of triumph. And it was this celebration was given to a commanding general. And it was a celebration that they called a triumph. And there were certain rules and things that had to take place in order for a triumph to be held. The general had to be an actual general from the field in order for there to be a triumph held. The campaign or the battle or the war must have been completed. The general had to be a general who was of the field, and he had to be somebody who had completed the mission in which he was assigned. In order for a triumph to be held in the Roman army or understanding of the military, all troops must be home and there must have been a positive gain of area for there to be a Roman triumph. There also, it needed to be against a foreign foe, and at least 5,000 of the enemy must have fallen in the battle. And if those criteria were met, they would hold a triumph when the army came back in town. And they would celebrate, and they would be excited, and all these things that would happen. And there would be a parade. And this parade would consist of leaders and people who were important. There would be musicians playing. Maybe I even could have sang at one of these. Maybe not, you know. I was a little hurt this morning when the men led one verse of how great is thy faithfulness. I must have missed the email to know that I was supposed to join for that part of the song. But Joanna probably deleted that if it was ever sent out. But anyway, there would be musicians. There would be a white bull that would come through the parade. There was the spoils of battle. The troops who fought would yell, triumph, 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 as they came through the street. And the general would be in a chariot pulled by four horses. It was a big deal. It was a big celebration because there had been a victory that had been won. You say, well, Paul, why are you telling us about this? In verse number 14 of 2 Corinthians, he says this, thanks be to God, which causes us to triumph. How? We triumph because of Christ. He causes the triumph because of Christ. Christ has given us the victory. Even though we may have trials and we may have troubles, we ultimately have victory in Jesus Christ. I've explained this to you before, but through Christ, we have salvation, I believe, in three aspects. We have salvation from the presence, from the power of sin here. We have salvation from the penalty of sin. But as I mentioned in time past, we also have salvation through Christ from the very presence of sin. The penalty, the power, and the presence of sin has all been conquered because of Jesus Christ. And so when we think of Christ and the triumph, we're reminded of what Christ has done. that in Him we have victory. In Him we have a celebration because of the Lord Jesus Christ. So how does this apply to Christ? Christ, our great commander, came to a foreign soil, was born in a manger, and completely defeated the enemy. And instead of killing 5,000, He gave life to all that will trust in Him by faith. What a splendid victory that is through Christ. And so, Christian today, do you have trouble? Do you have trials? Do you have difficulties? Through Christ, you have and can have triumph in Him. Look at what he says in verse 14. Now thanks be to God, unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ and maketh manifest the Savior of His knowledge by us in every place. What a great message we have of the victory of Jesus Christ. And then verse number 15, which is one of my favorite verses in this chapter, in this book even. He says in verse number 15, For we, that's us, for we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ in them that are saved and in them that perish. I believe verse 15 is reminding us of the glory and the forgiveness and the acceptance that we have before God because of Christ. And as we go forth into this world, we're showing the world what Christ has done for us and that we are showing forth His glory and His knowledge and the victory that He has given to us over sin. So Paul, as I started this morning, says, I have trouble. I have trouble. This is one message that you say if you preach on trouble, you can relate to everybody because everybody has had trouble. Paul says, I have trials. My spirit is not at peace within me. I'm waiting for Titus. There's unknown things up ahead that I'm waiting for a report on, wanting to know what Titus would say about the church. I'm pressed out of measure. I'm despairing my own life, as he says. But as he said, thanks be to God that gives me the triumph because of Jesus Christ. We do not fight against sin for victory. We fight against sin from victory. Through Jesus Christ, we have been given victory from sin. We have the strength of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So in Him, may we recognize the triumph and the victory that we have in Christ. And may we also be a sweet savor of Christ to this world around us as we're reminded of all that He has done for us. As He continues on through this chapter, I won't go on and on through these verses, but He's reminding this church at Corinth of the glory and the greatness of Jesus Christ. How about you today, attendee of First Baptist Church in Westcliff? Do you have troubles? Do you have fear of the unknown? Are you under burdens and trials and difficulties? There is victory in Christ. There is victory in Him. Maybe you're here today and you're not saved and you're under the weight of sin. In Christ, there is freedom from the power and the weight of sin. If you're here today and you're saved and you know Christ, but you're concerned and you're worried and you're down and your spirit is vexed, don't trust in yourself, as Paul said. Trust in Christ. I could stand up here probably for an hour, but I won't. And tell you about the times I've trusted in myself instead of God. Since we're going to the Navajo Nation, I'll tell you a few stories of my growing up there. Most of you know that I grew up on the Navajo Reservation. In times where we had to trust God. In times where God provided as only He could. In the times of troubles. In the times of difficulty. One night, my father and I were driving back from Shiprock, New Mexico, and we were coming back to our home in Window Rock, and I was driving, And it was a long road, and the highway is called 666. They've since changed the name, thankfully. But there were so many crashes on that highway from Shiprock. It would go to Yatahe, and then you could go over to Gallup. And we were going through the highway. It was late at night, probably 12. And I was driving 70 miles an hour down this little two-lane road. And before I could even think, I was in water. And that made me think of this story because of the situations in Texas, and our hearts are broken for the situation in Texas, and we continue to pray for all those people. But there was a flash flood that had come out of the mountains, that had come across Highway 666, and I hit it going 70 miles an hour. Boom! I didn't even know it was there. Next thing I know, I was in water, just, you know, like this, and water was spraying everywhere, and I didn't even have time to react. And I went, there was a semi coming this way, and I whizzed right by that semi. Not, I could have hit him head on, but I whizzed right by that semi. And I came out the other side going about 10 miles an hour after hitting that water at 70. And my dad, who was sleeping, had now awakened. And the first words he said was, "Are we dead?" And it was so much water that even the headlights, you could see the water bouncing in the headlights after we came through there. I said, "No, we're not dead." And it was a stick shift car, and I put it in second gear. It had quit running, and I popped the clutch, and it cranked back up, and we went on down the road. So you have to learn, how do you know that that would even happen? Well, God knew, and God provided protection and help even in the midst of a scary situation. God causes us to triumph. I told you before the story of working with Navajo churches, and many of them are down dirt roads, many miles, and it would rain or snow, and we would get stuck, and we needed a four-wheel drive, and I've told you that my job as a kid was to ride on the bumper when we needed weight on the back tires. And so I would go, we'd get stuck, and I'd get on the back bumper, and I'd hold on, and off we'd go, and I'd be riding back there, you know, until we got enough traction. And we needed a four-wheel drive, and we began to pray for a four-wheel drive van. Well, one day, a dealer called from 3 hours away in Farmington, and he said, "I've heard that you're looking for a four-wheel drive van." And I answered the phone, and I said, yeah, I was probably 14 when this happened. I said, Yeah, my dad's looking for a four-wheel drive van. He said, "Well, I got word that you were looking for that, and I have one that was traded in yesterday, and you can come get it for $1,500. See, God hears and answers prayer. We could go on and on with story after story of God's provision and God's help. God causes us to triumph in Christ. Not just materially, but most importantly, spiritually in Christ. We have been given victory over sin. We have been forgiven of all of our sins through Jesus Christ. We triumph in Him because of Christ. He is the hero. He is the Savior. He is the one that has done it all. So no wonder Paul says, "I have learned to not trust in myself. I'm going to trust in the one that raises people from the dead. I'm going to trust in the one that knows the future. I'm going to trust in the one that has power over sin, death, and hell." He's done it all. So Paul, no wonder, as I've already said this morning, "Thanks be unto God, which always," I didn't write that, He did. He always causes us to triumph in Christ. Our victory is in Him. No wonder Paul didn't trust in himself. He trusted in the God who can do all things. Let's bow our heads together this morning. Joanna and Beth are going to come to the piano and violin. Let's take a moment this morning there in your seat. Do you have trouble? Do you have trials? Do you have a weight that's got you down? You need to give it to the Lord. Do you need to be reminded of the truth of Scripture? He says that He always causes us to triumph in Christ. You will get through. Those burdens you're carrying, give them to God. Those trials you're in, the trouble you're in the midst of, trust in God, rely upon Him. He will provide. Take a moment and talk to the Lord this morning. Give something to God. Get Monty to go ahead and put our verse up. You can remain seated because we're going to bring the missions trip kids up here in just a moment. But let's say this verse together as a congregation, nice and loud. Here we go. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 15:57. Let's say that one like we mean it. One more time. Are you ready? I know I put you to sleep, but let's say it again nice and loud. Ready? But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 15:57. All right, Jeremiah is going to come for just a moment.
All right, well, we're very excited. Just directly after the service, we're heading out for our missions trip till Friday. So we're just super thankful for all the kids who are willing to go and serve the Lord this week. I pray that this week it will be a time for them to grow in the Lord and also the other people there. So I'm going to have all the kids come up, and then I'm going to ask the deacons if they can come and pray over all of us.
All right. We're going to have a great time. Pray for us. It's going to be great. Thank you for all those that worked hard to do fundraisers and all those kind of things. It's going to be a fantastic time. So we'll ask a couple of deacons if you want to just have a quick word of prayer over those that are coming. Eric, if you want to get us started.
Please join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for our church. We thank you for our children as they grow and become more Christ-like, Lord. We pray that you would be with them through this special time in their life. Please give them safety. Please help them to learn and to have wisdom and discernment. Please be with our leaders as they guide them, Lord. Keep them safe. Bless the vehicles that they would run beautifully and the angels would accompany them all the way, not only to their destination, but during their work project and all the way home. May their lives leave a legacy for those who are with them at this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Father, we do thank you for your love and your goodness. We just pray a special blessing over this group of young people and adults as they travel to New Mexico to minister to the Navajos, make it a life-changing event for them, that they would grow closer to our Lord Jesus Christ and our God, our Father. And Father, just we pray your protection over them as they travel, as both to New Mexico and back home again. Lord, you know what you want to accomplish, and we just ask your guidance and your blessings be on them. Be with Josh and Joanna as they lead the group, because we know it's going to be a very tiring event, but give them strength. And Lord, we do thank you for these young people that are willing to go and serve you. And we just ask your blessing on them. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
All right, so if you guys can just keep us in your prayers this week, we'll be gone till Friday. We will be doing construction throughout the day and then VBS in the evening. So just pray for courage and for strength for everyone here. Thank you, guys.
Allowing their kids to come. If you are on Facebook, I hope to be posting Facebook pictures. And the church Facebook is the one with the steeple. So remember to follow that, and you'll be able to see mission trip photos and things for that are taking place during the trip. All right, we'll have a closing word of prayer. We love each of you. Hope you have a great, great rest of your day. And we'll see you next week. I might not look as rested as I do right now, but we'll be here for better or worse. So let's bow our heads together in prayer, and we'll be dismissed. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you, God, for your many blessings. Thank you for First Baptist of Westcliff and for the kids that are coming. May we be a great impact upon those that we meet. Lord, may we share the gospel of Christ with great clarity. I pray for the children that will be coming to Vacation Bible School, that they would learn of you. Lord, I pray that you would set them free from the bondage and the power of sin through Jesus Christ. May we be an encouragement to all those that we're with. Give us safety, give us protection. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to serve you outside of the walls of the church. And may we be a great reflection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in whose name we ask these things. Amen.